Welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And this is ostensibly an advice podcast, when people get to write in and ask us questions, which we will then answer to the best of our abilities, or to the mediocre of our abilities, which however, depending on our mood of the day.
Well, it's the best of our abilities, it's just mediocre abilities.
Anyhow, any way you want to order that.
I'm not the Dom here.
We're establishing the pecking order right now.
Yeah. I think we established it years ago, personally. But that's cool. I don't know. We're supposed to like do a Marin Open where we fill in things and tell us what we've been up to.
Oh yeah.
And my kids are back at school. But apart from that, nothing's happening at all.
My husband's back at work. It's so weird. I got up.
Is he going in now?
Yeah, I got up this morning and he wasn't here. Like, I have no measure of time.
Yeah, it's been big because the kids are back at school. Although one of my kids isn't back at school because he sneezes and coughs a lot, as per what we were just discussing before. And it, like, it's just something he does. It's not. He's not like he's not got the Rona. We know he's not sick, but unfortunately. And very sensibly, the New South Wales school system has said, as soon as your child shows any symptoms, we're going to call you up and ask them to come home. So yesterday, after 10 minutes of school time, he was called up. He was told to go home. I'm like, okay, great. This is going to happen every damn day. Just have to factor that into my budget. But, yeah, my husband's still at home. He's still working from home. He's going to go in once a week, I think, at some point. I don't know when, though. And that'll be interesting. But because the kids are at school, we're not doing our morning walk anymore, so we stopped talking to each other, which, you know, back into normal. Back into normal.
Oh,
mm.
I don't know, man. Like, we've had our first, like, COVID fight. I can't even say it was a fight. We're having our first COVID disagreements, and that's fine. Uh-huh. It's going to happen. I mean, it's happened to less strong marriages. Throw out some backtracking there because I think he still listens to the podcast. I'm not sure.
Not after today, you won't.
Oh,
so, it's amazing how a bit more serious now, but just the idea of having to get through this with a partner that you don't absolutely love and support would be hell-ish. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm glad that we know that we like each other enough to get through this.
I mean, it's nice to know that we can endure.
Woo. Yeah.
Oh, well, the real test will be coming next week.
Oh yeah.
Our new twins arrive Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. It's so cool that you got them pre-grown.
Yeah.
Right? Fully formed. I mean, it's the ideal situation. They're fully formed. They wipe their own ass. As far as I know, they tie their own shoes. You just got to watch out for, you know, the hygiene things. But again, that's why I have a husband. So we went and bought them toiletries and he went down the aisle. He's like, I'll just go get them what I think they need. And he comes back with like soap and deodorant. And he's like, that's it. We're done. I'm like, okay.
That is all they need.
Yeah. I mean, if they even get there, that's going to be something.
That's going to be better than, a lot of guys I've known in my time. So, yeah.
I think we have the advantage of our military background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hygiene is not optional.
No, you get in a lot of trouble if you're not hygienic.
If you don't hygiene, everything in the military becomes a verb. Like, hygiene becomes a verb. Hydrate becomes a verb. Like, it all becomes a verb.
Isn't hydrate a verb already?
I had never heard it as a verb until I went to boot camp. But I also lived quite a sheltered life before I went to boot camp. So, who knows?
Ah, okay, cool. I get bullied to hydrate by people online a lot. Like it's like self-care. Hydrate! Drink some water. Go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, I might take exception to people bossing you around if I thought you didn't need it.
Oh.
Again, the hierarchy has already been established.
It has indeed.
It has.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with
that. Well, I mean, there's like a lot of relaxation in the pecking order. You know, if you don't have to make the decisions. You know.
Yes. Well, there's a reason why subspace exists, and I'm quite happy to be in that space. Thanks very much.
Exactly.
We've been doing a bit of research, see.
Because we got a question from Tom this week. What a nice segue that was. Beautiful segue.
Indeed.
I like pointing out our good segues, which undoes the segue. Tom from our Discord, which you should all be joining, asks, who doms the doms? And I promised some research into the topic. Which I totally got around to 5 minutes ago. And let me say, folks, when you are researching BDSM, you really need to be careful what you're doing and understand what you're probably going to see. As in today, I clicked on a definition and found a woman squat over a man peeing in his mouth. On Wikipedia.
Yay!
So, and while I'm not judging, I
some
just
early wasn't... morning, early morning water sports. Boy, it's not really
morning. Oh my god! And I'm not king shaming. Oh,
these toilet the paperless least, just... times.
Oh god!
It was just not expected when I opened Wikipedia today.
Yeah, it's not usually that graphic on Wikipedia, but I suppose whatever. I suppose when you're looking up graphic things, you should expect graphic images.
Oh, usually Wikipedia has really funny drawings. I'll have to link one of the ones. It's so funny. I saved it to my phone because it's the funniest ass thing I've ever seen.
Oh, there's some great illustrations in there. Just really specific illustrations. Specific? That's not what I was looking for. I'm also trying to read and talk at the same time, and I need to not do that. In answer to...
Oh, man, that's going to be hard to find it, though. Never mind. Whatever.
It's too hard. Might as well quit. In answer to Tom's question, I can't really find a dominatrix pecking order. And I suspect I would have to, like, seek out some professionals to get that information. But they apparently do have, like, I don't know if I want to call them unions. Or...
Yeah, well, everyone should unionize, including the dom.
There's some kind of union where they establish order and things.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. So that's all I've got right now. Damn it, I'm going to have to do more research because now my curiosity is piqued.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the idea of them having a union. And, like, I mean, obviously, I think Claire was saying that, you know, if you're a dom, then you don't want to be dommed, and that's the whole point. But then there are switches out there.
Yeah, I was
so,
just going
to
say that.
You would probably just find a dom. Like, you wouldn't need a superior dom for you.
But like, if
but maybe you do. Maybe it's like, yeah, you need to have.
I for one believe in the dom anarchy.
And I for one believe that is the way to injury. No,
it's a dom union.
The Dominion, but that's Star Trek. So.
I mean, why
Odo's
not?
Odo's relationship with Kieran.
There's probably Star Trek stuff out there. I mean, let's...
Oh, there's... About... Definitely.
Oh, there's definitely fanfic about it, but I'm not sure if there's actual canon stuff about it.
I mean, I've got one of my friends is super into Star Trek. If I thought I could ping her right now, I'd be like, give me
I feel like I should know more about that. But yeah, it's been a while, so maybe not.
I feel like there should be some kind of an order, and now I'm like, I'm completely in this rabbit hole now, guys. Thanks, Tom. Because like, there's a lot of emotional responsibility you take on as a dom, and there's got to be, you know, like help and support and reassurance for you too. You know, if you're not getting that from Especially if, like, you're the kind of dom who isn't, like, in a relationship. If you're just...
If you're, like, one of the doms for hire.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like,
in your union.
You don't have that aftercare. You don't have that aftercare situation going on to...
When I was working at the cafe, my co-workers lived in a
for
household.
For a hot second, I really thought you were going to say when I was
I know!
Dominatrix.
I was like,
when I was a dom. I was
like, out of left field.
I've known you're a fan of one of your child's lives, and this is the first I'm hearing of it.
No. I was never a sex worker. Although, yeah, I probably should have been, would have made more money, but I'm not really cut out for that sort of thing. One of my co-workers lived in a household with two professional dominatrixes. So if I was still in touch with that co-worker, I would ring him up and ask, but I'm not, unfortunately. That was an interesting household, actually. Two dominatrixes and one drug dealer.
they're actually...
a chef. My friend was the chef.
What is that show called? There's a Netflix show, a short series, and now I can't remember what it's called, but it's about a gay guy whose best friend is a dominatrix, and
oh cool,
yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but it's absolutely hilarious. Just is like she's a dominatrix for hire, and like she's one of the ones, like, she has men who pay her to come into her house and clean it for her.
I love it.
like that's their kink. They want to be bossed around.
I love it.
And like every now and then she would just turn around and like throw shit across the room, like, clean that up. And he was like, yes, ma'am. I was like, God, that's the life. And I asked my husband if I could do that. And he was like, well, I mean, if we split the profit. So, I mean, future opportunities.
There's a TV ad where here it was on here for a while where they did that for some sort of I can't remember if it was for a cleaning product. I think it was for a cleaning product, but yeah, she has like this her, she kisses her husband goodbye in the morning and he goes off to work, and then this parade of men come in and get dominated to clean and cook for her. and he comes back home and she's got this beautiful dinner on the table, and he just I don't know how you do it, and she's stuffing like wads of cash in her pocket the same time. It's like, the best thing. I love it. It's so good.
That's amazing. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I talk about how like my theater degree is really applicable in many areas. I think I could make it work. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Tom. There's our best answer. Oh, now I'm going to have to research.
Yeah.
Because my books are leaning in that direction, so.
I mean, at this point, like, did they start out as young adult? Are they still young adult?
No.
This one is
new adult, and it'll probably stay new adult for a little while. So, but I mean, who
new
knows
adult.
Where it'll go or how many books I write. I don't know.
So as new adult, just tangent now, let's go on to writing.
Okay.
Is new adult a, how, I don't, yeah,
it's
sorry,
not,
I'm confused.
It's not classified, it's, like when you publish a book, you have to register is not the word I'm looking for. You have to declare it either young adult or adult, and new adult is not... Mm-hmm. a technical category, like you don't classify it that way, but it is a genre that's emerging and filling a gap that is missing between young adult and adult. You know, like
yeah.
people who
All right, yeah.
they don't relate to teenagers and their plights anymore, but they are also not
yeah.
ready for the full on. She's been a lawyer for 20 years and they're gonna be gone. You know, like yeah. it's that little it's
in, I mean, I was ready for that sort of fiction when I was 8 years old. Come on. Right?
No. I mean, to each their own, but
yeah,
you know, but so like new adult is that stage between 18 to early 20s. I want to say like around the time you would graduate from university.
Yeah, yeah.
So around 23.
Yeah,
or
that's.
So.
I mean, that's the genre that book about that where my friend wrote a book about me being a bitch.
It always makes me laugh.
We've talked about that one before, but yeah. It's a good book. But yeah,
it's a good genre. Kind of weird. I actually really enjoy it. Like I like writing in that genre because you've still got like the youthful awkwardness that allows for growth.
Yeah.
And you know, there's like a lot of bumbling things that happen in your early 20s that make great stories.
Oh hell yeah.
You know, and I just hell yeah. I don't want to write full on adult novels, I don't think, but whatever. We'll see. I don't know.
Writing adult novels at the moment, like writing stories about adults too for me at the moment is a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, at least then you wouldn't have to write around the smut, which apparently gave you no end of angst and torment.
Yeah, pretty much. I've written like all ranges and of smut and erotica, and I have to say, like, the circumlocution variety is the hardest one I've had to do because you've got to make it.
That sounds like an interesting kink.
Yeah. Watch out for that one. She's got a circumlocution.
I'm gonna
kink.
Circumlocute. I was a linguist, cunning even.
A cunning linguist. That's still my favorite James Bond joke ever. I was like, can we just go back to that one?
Yeah.
Can we go back to the Pussy Galore jokes, please?
Yeah. The DLI, I heard it like every day. Every day.
Of course.
Like, yeah. So. Anyway. Shall we move on to another question?
That's probably a good idea. Okay. I think we've milked this dominatrix one for a long time.
We have, and we actually don't have a lot of questions this week. So, since we were just talking about writing, I'm going to skip ahead to Rosie's wire heist story. So satisfying.
Oh, that's a cool question.
Right?
I think it's because it has, like, the satisfaction of everything falling into place.
Yeah,
there's usually like all the stages of the heist, and maybe you don't see it all until like at the very end, and you're like, oh, and that's how it fits. It's how it all fits. So it's like it's kind of like foreshadowing to the extreme. So it's
they're formulaic like romance novels, but like all the pieces fall together, and you don't always. I think the Ocean's movies are perfect examples of those.
I love the Ocean's movies so much. I mean, obviously Ocean's 8 is the best, but
I haven't seen it yet.
I know,
haven't you?
Either.
No, oh my god! Movie night.
I wanted to see it, and it was out of theaters before I got a chance.
Yeah, same.
Have you not seen it either?
Nope.
Yeah. Man, okay, guys, you need to see that movie right now. If only
I missed
like,
the window.
It is the best.
I missed the window of that and Knives Out in the theater.
Yeah, I haven't seen Knives Out yet.
Oh my god, you have to. Anyway,
yeah,
like you especially. You specifically.
Yeah.
Oh no, I agree with Claire. It's like all the pieces fall into place, and you get the satisfaction of it, even though it's formulaic, you know. And you've got meeting the team and seeing the training montage and all that stuff, like leading up to it. You see everything, but you don't see everything, and then it all falls into place, and you're like, "Wah!"
Yeah, and then like if you had guessed some of it beforehand, you can feel really clever. If you didn't, then you get to like you get all the fun of like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that? And either like any way you do it, it's very satisfying.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it. I mean, it's interesting too because I love Leverage, but yeah, and there's a lot of RPGs out there at the moment that are sort of plotted around heists, and I love watching heist movies, and I love reading heist novels and stuff like that. But when it comes to doing an RPG of them, I freeze up and panic because I can't do it. I can't do the planning, and I can't do the
and it
always feels, you know, it feels bad. Like even with Honey Heist, which is just a farcical heist. I still feel bad if it's not as good as a proper heist. If that makes sense.
Heists are also very fun because, like, again, I also couldn't write them, but I enjoy them as a thing because it usually involves people getting dressed up in some way. Either they're in something very fancy, which is always fun, or they're in, like, silly costumes of some sort or playing roles, and that's also very fun.
I've only written one.
Yeah, that's one. That's one very good thing about Ocean's 8 is just the dresses are fantastic.
I've only written one, and being that it never got picked up by anybody, I'm not sure it was very good. And I might take it out and tidy it up and do something with it on my own. But I liked writing it. Like, I liked working through all the different puzzle pieces of, you know, of the conceits and putting it all together and figuring out how to make it better and how to make this part work and stuff. And I recommend trying to write one. Like,
yeah,
just try, because it's kind of just fun narratively to see all the building blocks. And I don't know, there's something about writing formulaic stories that is just very satisfying and educational. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, they're kind of tied in with thrillers and murder mysteries as well. And I know because my mum is a massive murder mystery fan, and I watched like so many crime shows when I was a kid. Like, that was pretty much the only thing we ever watched on TV.
Yeah.
And crime shows and medical dramas, that was all we watched. Pretty much all there was, you're right.
Unless you were in, but, like
I was raised on a steady diet. Yeah, I was raised on a steady diet of Matlock and Columbo and all those crime shows, and then later on Law and Order and stuff. But with she also did a whole lot of went to a whole lot of author talks and stuff like that from her favorite crime writers, who were Ruth Rendell and who was the other one? I can't remember the other one. But anyway, there's two types of crime writers, and Ruth Rendell apparently used to not know who did it when she started the book.
And, neat.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I just don't see how you could possibly do that. Like, and Petey James is the other one who I since think has become problematic, but that's cool. she said she always knows. She also always knows the ending before she starts the book or before she starts plotting it out. And I'm like, okay, I can't conceive of someone not knowing the murderer when you're doing a murder mystery, but I write most of my stuff without knowing what the ending's going to be. So why is it so different for a crime or a mystery novel than
something else? I don't know. My own personal experience is that, like, I had to start with the ending and build the blocks backward. Like, I had to reverse engineer the plot so that I would get back to the beginning, and it was the middle part that I had to work out backward.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's different from other stories in that, unlike other stories, foreshadowing is absolutely necessary in mystery type.
Yeah.
Mystery and heist. It
also depends on whether you want the reader to be able to work out who did it too, because that was something that
They don't have to figure it out, but I would say there has to be, you have to be able to look back and see some clues.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if it just comes clearly
out, it has to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's about the getting there. Like, I've seen movies where you know the ending, like the movie just gives it to you at the beginning.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like Knives Out is a good example of that. Like, it hands you the ending right in the beginning, and you're like, okay, but how did we get from here to there? And that's the adventure that I really enjoy, is like seeing how all of that unfolds and how you got to this improbable seeming scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really love, despite, again, people who are in the movie being terrible people now, I loved The Usual Suspect. It was one of those movies where I just did not get the twist until the end. Like, there was no, like, I was absolutely blown away by the twist at the end of The Usual Suspects. I loved it. And I won't spoil it in case people haven't seen it, but I love that. I love, and one of the things I loved about The Usual Suspects is that right at the end, they actually go through all the clues,
right?
That gave you hints about what was actually happening, except that you didn't see them as a viewer.
Yeah.
So it was kind of both disappointing and fascinating. I don't know. Anyway, it was just a really, really good movie, and I loved it. And I wish that, what's his name,
Kevin Leverage Spacey, does that asshole too, which I love. Like, they'll go through a whole scene, and then they wind back and show you like everything that you didn't see. Like, you don't see everything.
Yeah. So how it works.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's what happens in Ocean's 8 as well. You don't get to see all the details of what happened until the very end, where they go back over it. And I think that's the difference between a heist movie and a mystery novel. Because it said, again, Agatha Christie used to say she hated it when a writer didn't give all the clues to the reader. Like, she believed that as a reader you should be able to work out who the murderer is, which means you need to give every single clue that the investigator gets to the reader as well. But in heist movies, they don't do that. They surprise you with things.
Yeah,
because I feel like that it's not as needed.
Yeah.
I don't know why exactly. I just feel like with a murder mystery, you should be able to, like, you don't have to, but you should have the ability to
get parse there.
It out. Yeah.
You know, even if not every clue is obvious along the way, you know, if they're there.
I think it's because that's kind of what the whole story is about, is that mystery. And so if there aren't clues, then it feels kind of empty, and it feels a little bit like you're just pulling things out of your ass. This person, because of the whodunit
at the end. Yeah. But with a heist, it's about the journey.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's also about, like, the ensemble and...
Yeah.
Definitely about the ensemble,
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think heists are probably...
Because, I mean, in a heist, you know who's doing it. You know, like, here are the thieves, and here's what they're after.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not as important to see everything about...
Yeah. Like, heists are character-driven, and murder mysteries are more plot-driven.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Nicely summarized, Brandon. It's almost like you're an author or something.
I don't know. I try. Oh my God, I just saw the image you put in chat.
I have not seen this yet. Let me have a... Oh my God! That's gross! Oh dear. What the hell is going on in that?
Not even like... Right.
It's not anatomically correct.
I know, but it made me laugh so much. I had to save it to my phone, and every time I see it on my phone, I laugh.
Well, now I have to save it.
That's fantastic. I love it.
I mean, obviously, I have to save it because I have to post it, because I will post image posts.
Definitely.
I've been so... Like,
Yeah, usually they're less ridiculous than that. We had a good chat about it in one of the Godoma's Discords, and then someone posted that one, and I lost my mind. I had to save it because it was so funny.
Okay, do we have any more?
We do. Not too many more. Oh, whoops. That's just
I hope so, because I didn't have I don't have fan fiction this week.
That's okay. I believe in us. I believe in us. Here's one that'll get us going. Here we go. Question. Tom wants to know, have you developed any shorthand names for Animal Crossing resources? I know a guy who refers to his turnip prices as my nips, which I thought was universal. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everyone calls them nips now. Yeah. I actually was giving Travis grief about it because he was talking about it. I was like, I hate it. Because so it does not register in my brain as turnips, like, at all. Like, it always takes a second for my brain to be like, they're talking about turnips, and it's always it's a trip.
No, I call my nips, but I'm not one for shortening things as a general rule. But we were talking about,
you're Australian. Don't give me that shit.
Oh, names. People's names always get shortened, as we've discussed this before, I'm sure. Although Brandon would be hard.
Like,
Claire's hard too.
Literally everything you say is like a shortened, like Arvo, and I can't think of other ones, but like your general day-to-day vernacular is all shortened words, is it not?
Maccas.
Yeah.
Arvo, yeah, the Botlo, yeah, I get it, yeah, we do actually, but everything's got an O or an A on the end of it. That's just the way it goes.
Oh, okay, Australians. Okay.
So if it was so it's hard to do Brandon because you finish with, you'd be Brando or something, and Claire's already one.
Oh yeah, see, so this is actually this is the origin story for why I so often, if I'm choosing names for characters, they usually have names that can be shortened to nicknames, because I always was jealous of people that could have nicknames, because it's impossible.
Oh, I'm the opposite. Like, I try to pick names that won't be shortened.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I my naming conventions in books are just weird. When I'm writing, are just weird, because I just usually the name just sort of falls in my lap.
Yeah.
and I don't actually think about it very much. And sometimes, like, for that big long story that I did that that I hated forever, that actually ended up getting published, I actually changed the names halfway through, and that then it was really, really confusing because it felt like I was writing the wrong story, and I got very, very upset because the names I originally used were really bad, and I knew they were really bad, and I couldn't stand it. But the characters in the book were those names now, and so I was like, yeah, they're bad names, but they're their names. And I can't anyway. But I did eventually manage to change their names.
Oh,
well, I still thought of them in the original names though.
It's like, it's so hard, like. Like changing like changing names when you make an analog character of something popular. Like, I don't think Imogen's read my second book yet, but Claire has, so she probably knows what I'm referring to.
Yep.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
I knew it instantaneously. You'll know it when you see it.
You'll start chapter 3 and you'll be like, God damn it. Like, I got data notes back from Claire and she was like, oh, you.
I know who the character is just from your reaction.
I think most of the similarities end there, but
yeah. All right. But it was still the name. It was still even
that. Spiritually, it's there. It's there. Yeah.
Which honestly is all that mattered to me because that made it more entertaining.
I mean, the first two books were kind of written as like inside jokes, so. And I did my best to make it a relatable story. Oh, yeah. Oh, you. Yeah, I love trying to figure out names that aren't gonna like be obvious, but I don't know. I like to play with danger.
I mean, I'm all over the place with naming, honestly, because, I mean, I used to always make sure that things could be shortened, and I still usually end up doing it, whether I mean to or not. Like with Lucian, I was like, oh, that's just a full name on its own, but he became Lucy in a lot of things. So.
This is cute.
Yeah, but yeah, so now I just follow like whatever just sounds right in my head and just go with it.
It's I love that it's like pretty much overdone, but using Lucy as short for Lucifer was something, yeah, I'd always wanted to do when I finally got around to writing the books that would get me excommunicated. But like now that Lucifer, the TV show, has done it, I'm like, oh damn, yep, everyone's doing it. We named our cat Lucy.
The comics did it too. I think the comics did it too, so it's been around for a while, yeah. Unfortunately, the Lucy shortening. But yeah, it's a good shortening for Lucifer.
It is.
And I like it because it kind of fucks with gender a little bit too, and I enjoy that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And whoever said that the devil had to be of a particular gender anyway, yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Anyways, speaking of the actual original question, I can't think of any other Animal Crossing resources other than turnips that I hear get shortened though.
Well,
like people say nips, otherwise like nips. What are you gonna say for wood? It's just wood. Or fish.
I'm trying to
either, you can't shorten much like fruit.
I'm switching into the discussion channel here to see what came up, because someone, I can't remember who it was, said that the shorthand for pansies is just assholes.
That was me. Because, yeah, fuck you, pansies. Fuck you, pansies. Roses as well at this point. I'd like it. Flowers in general, just little bastards. They're just little bastards. Except mine are all flourishing really well now, so I can't really talk anymore. I've got all the different types, and now I've just got to work out how to display them so that I look cool.
See, my problem is I'm not trying to breed any of them, but I just have them set up like for aesthetics. But now I'm just like, no, there's too many, so I hate them. I'm like, I don't want to get rid of any of them, but There's too many.
Yeah, now I don't know what to do with the ones. I don't know what to do with the flowers that I don't need, but may need eventually. And
yeah, that's my problem with like the roses is I've gotten some good roses, but I'm like, I don't want to get rid of all my normal ones. But yeah,
like I spent a couple of days clearing out everything that I could grow from seeds bought in my shop. And then like 3 days later, I was like, why did I do that? I still need those.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, it's funny. If shovels didn't break, it wouldn't be such a fucking problem. But because I'm like, there's so many flowers. I'm like, well, I could rearrange these. I'm like, oh, I'd go through so many shovels. Just like,
I just go in and
clearing out some of
five shovels.
Some of my cosmos. I have an inordinate amount of cosmos. Because I haven't really touched them because they were my native hill flowers. And so they've been growing since the beginning. I haven't really touched them, except for to add when I got some pink and orange ones from an island, and so now there's so many.
Oh, yeah, tulips were mine, and there's no harnessing them. If two tulips develop of the same color, boom, there they go.
Yeah, I've got that's why I'm just like, whenever anyone's asking about what they should water, I'm like, just don't go on the hills because it's just all cosmos, and they do what they want.
Don't water the tulips.
No, water the big hill. I've got one very big hill and one little hill. The little hill is my fun murder hill. So that has only a few cosmos.
Hey, baby girl.
Yeah, no, I've got, I think my natives are mums. I think mums or something. Mums and roses and cosmos as well. And my mums go nuts. I've got lots and lots of mums.
Oh, mums are not my natives, but those are going berserk because I made like, it was just going to be like a cute little like nature-y walkthrough area and they're so soft looking and then they've gone bonkers.
I feel like they look like pillow pads.
There's so many of them.
I'm just like, they look like scratchy Brillo pads. All I can think of are like thistles and burrs and stuff like that. But, yeah.
See, I see them. They look more like dandelions, which are so soft.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I've got heaps of green mums and they look like carnations. I don't know. Are they carnations?
I might need to come by and steal some of those because I've had a recipe for ages for a green mum wreath and I'm like, I don't have this. Why are you doing this to me, game? Because they gave them to me really early.
Yeah, I'm down to the final
three. Yeah, no, I've got heaps of green mums.
Purple cosmos, blue rose, and green mums. Like those are the only three I can't seem to get to take off.
No, but yeah the green mums were the mums are they're chrysanthemums.
Yeah.
Oh, chrysanthemums. Of course. Well, I know what they do look a bit like carnations. They look a bit like carnations, so the fact that we've got green ones pleased my little Oscar Wilde loving heart. So I've just got a whole heap of green mums on the side of my botanical gardens. It's Oscar Wilde way. So like that. It's very fun. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, I've got my nice big flower breeding area. I'm tempted to make it smaller because I don't need the flowers anymore, but I really like it. So it's just like, well, maybe I'll just leave it. And
yeah, I've got a lot of flowers that are in the flower breeding area that I had purposefully put there so that I could try to encourage them to grow. And then they exploded. Uh-huh. And in the process of trying to get the hybrids to grow from them, they just keep exploding and getting more. So I've got like a bajillion of the ones I don't need but don't want to get rid of. With no room for the new ones. So I'll be reporting. I did find in people's custom designs, I found, because we were talking about the conspiracy board meme last week, and I found someone had made one, so yeah. I'm going to put it up in my botanical garden later.
Excellent!
Replace one of the Water Me signs with it.
See, that's my thing. You, Brandon, you're always about, you gotta breed all your own flowers yourself, and I'm just like, I only make my own designs. I refuse to get any, even though there's like a bunch of really nice ones, and there's no reason not to, especially because it's so hard if you're on a switch light, because I don't have like a touch screen or anything, and I assume some people are using like a stylus and stuff and making it easier, whereas I'm using these joysticks, and I'm like, I will draw with this!
Yeah, I haven't. But... I've made a couple of my own. Like, I made my own water me and don't water me and free stuff signs. You know, they're very simplistic, and had a little bit of fun with that, with the little Imogen had given us a little thing, like a key to making 3x3 and 3x4 text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is unsatisfying in some respects. Like, I can't get it to do what I want. But beyond that, like, yeah. I just don't know how people draw with the joysticks like that.
It's a whole thing.
It's interesting because I don't use, I just do it by pixel. Like, I just in color in each individual square when I'm doing mine.
Yeah, but
which I know is,
that's what I do too. Pain in the ass, but it changes the shape so dramatically, each little pixel, and I'm just,
it does.
Yeah.
It does. I agree.
My hat's off to you, Claire.
Anyway,
my hat's off to you.
Well, it is her job. Literally, how she makes her money. So.
I mean, it's very satisfying because then I have my designs up in my shop, and so I've got the gayest ass town. It's like, because I've got the only designs I have up in my shop. So all my animals are wearing. Let's see, I've got my bi plaid, my bi hoodie. Oh, what are the other ones? Yeah, I've got
them,
a little.
Like, uploaded. Like, do you have like a creator ID and stuff? I could go.
I'll have to check if those ones are uploaded. I know I've uploaded some, so I do have an ID. But I'll check if those are the ones uploaded. But yeah, I've got. It's a little. It's a flannel shirt with a white shirt under it. But yeah, I've got the bi plaid, the bi hoodie. I have Aubrey Little, who Imogen will know. I've got a little cosplay outfit for her. So people also wear that a lot. So that's great because it's got a little bi pin on it and it's got Dr. Harris Bonkers on the back.
That's great.
Nice!
And it's very cute. And then, God, what else is up there? Is it? It might be Captain Marvel. So that also counts as more.
I thought I saw you make a Captain Marvel one. I thought I did.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, I know I've got 4 designs up in the shop and I see them varyingly. I'll see
I need to get on this and wear me a Claire original Animal Crossing.
It makes me so happy though, because then they're like walking around and they're like, I got Gladys right now says bye bye byes, and then she's like off and wearing. Hey! Or they'll say like bye furious, and I'm like, yes,
oh, that's
go.
A good
I need
one.
To my bye town.
Oh my god, I
tell you. Oh no, that's what it is. My fourth one is the 13th Doctor shirt, which has a little rainbow on it. So
oh,
it's
yes.
also very gay looking.
I saw that one, that's great.
Cute.
It's funny because I've someone pointed out that none of us called our island Byland.
I know.
It's very, very upsetting.
What failures we are. I'm so mad at myself.
We're failures.
Both as a lover of puns and a bisexual. Which is, I know, redundant, yes. But
well, it's part of the bi identity.
I know.
Yeah, puns are bi culture as well. So,
the bi identity.
Yeah. The bi identity.
Yeah, I'm so mad I didn't. But my brain completely forgot all words when they were like, name your island. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Right. I mean, mine was an in joke and I was like, didn't really carry because I couldn't name it what I wanted to name it anyway. So I'm pretty crappy about my island.
I mean,
name,
I was mad anyways because I like came up with a name and then Kid Kat was like, we should name it like Swole Land or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. We should call it that. But it was too late.
Too late.
I was like, damn it. Yeah. Why didn't we get to put this up to vote? Why are you all voting for me? We should live on Swole Land.
We should have called it Swole Land.
I get that same paralysis every time one of my villagers is like, I need a new catchphrase.
And I know, yes. It's a nightmare. Like, sometimes I'll come up with one and I'll be so happy, and then other times I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I taught
especially when they change it really fast, like when you had just recently given them one and you're like, no.
I just gave you the perfect one. I taught my sweetest little villager, Marina, to say no diggity.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that when I visited you. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's the best one I've
taught so far. What'd you say, my bish? My bish was my favorite one, too. He's like, hey, my bish.
Yeah, they wanted a new nickname for me, so they were like, what can I call you? And I was like, my bish!
See, they've never asked me what they should call me. They always just come up with something.
Yeah.
Which I can't complain because one of them decided to call me hashtag, and now all of them call me hashtag, and it's the funniest thing ever. They're like, hashtag! And I'm like,
Only my OG villagers, the first two that I moved in with, call me, still call me Rambler, and everyone else uses, like, the nicknames that I gave them, or that we decided.
My bitch.
My bitch.
I think I'm Pumpkin. I'm Pumpkin and something else, but yeah, someone wanted to call me Pumpkin. I'm like, I don't much like it, but whatever.
Someone, like, let's see. I've been vitamin C, which is funny, but that got cycled out by C Puff, which is also funny.
C Puff.
And then hashtag took over pretty well. I think it's only Gladys, I think, that still calls me C Puff.
Oh my god, I'm so
someone
glad.
Else hashtag, wanted, hashtag. Someone wanted to call me something stupid. I don't remember what it was, and I finally was like, no.
Yeah. I felt so bad telling them no, except Cherie, that bitch needs to leave. And only because, like, I actually do genuinely like her, but I just need her to go. So I had to fabricate a reason to dislike her enough to be mean to her. But then I was finally mean enough to her. Yesterday she called me a grody fish fossil, so now it's on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. I was so stunned, I didn't even screen cap it. I was like, oh, my God.
So well, now you can go to Isabel and say, I don't like the way she talks to me. She called me a grody fish.
Excellent.
And then she stomps her. Oh my god, she pissed them off. It's so great. Like, she stomps around, and she's one of the tiny little bear villagers. So she stomps around, and she's got the little cloud above her head, and she's just angry stomping back and forth, and it's so funny.
That's cute. It's so cute. I can't believe it.
God, I went on the island crawl today trying to find a new villager because my Rottweiler Butch left, which was a little sad.
Oh, I saw Butch the other day.
But I was like, he was one of the ones I was willing to part with because I have a few grumpy guys. And I was like, all right. But then I had to go through the nightmare because I refused to just let it happen at random. So I went to, I think, over half a dozen islands before I found one that I kind of wanted. So now I'm getting Apollo.
Yeah, I did that last night.
He's one of the OG characters. And so I have a soft spot for any of the original villagers. And he's so American.
Yeah. I got Octavian.
Octavian,
the red octopus.
Yeah. Met him today.
Yesterday, and he, I just, because I haven't got any grumpy villagers. I had no grumpy villagers, and I was like, oh yeah, a grumpy octopus, and because I wanted to get an octopus I was actually going to try and get Raymond because I was like, you know, why not? Like, I can boast about having Raymond. But then
everybody
the octopus,
loves, like, yeah, Raymond.
Apparently, I did love that everyone's sort of going, who are they? They were comparing him to someone, and they're like, no, you're comparing him to the wrong person. It's not this person, it's Chidi from The Good Place. Yeah. That's who Raymond looks like. And I was like, okay, now I get why people love Raymond so much. I didn't get it before, but now I do. Because Chidi is the best.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have a friend who has offered me, how do you say it, amiibo codes? And, who's offered me an amiibo,
but Raymond doesn't
code,
come
like,
on an amiibo.
From everything from 4 and before. She doesn't have, like, any of the new ones or anything like that. And I was like, but do I get to choose who moves out? and how do I even make that decision? Like, I want something that I don't already have. Like, I don't have a grumpy villager, but I also don't have a bird villager. But some of the bird villagers are still, like, the peppy pop star villagers. And I don't know. It's all very overwhelming.
It was fun having a couple grumpy ones though, because one time they had a grump off, and then they asked me what I thought of them, and I said I thought they were both very nice, and they started to cry. They were so happy. But yeah, so one grumpy one moved out today, and the other grumpy one, it was his birthday today, so I gave him a foosball machine. He was very happy about that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I don't know when, like, I haven't had a single birthday yet, so I'll find out when the birthdays are.
Yeah, that was the first birthday I had. And don't worry, you will know it's coming up, because my villagers, like, every day were like, it's his birthday on the 26th, the 26th! Like,
Ed's birthday is, like, September 16th. He has, like, a photograph in his house. If you go straight back on top of his dresser, and you click on it.
Yeah, he's got a photograph of himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, if you click on it, it tells you his birthday and also his favorite phrase. And I don't know if that's going to come into... I feel like everything Animal Crossing gives you is useful in some way. Like, I don't feel like they waste information.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't. Yeah. We probably could wrap up now, if that's all right with you guys.
You've already exhausted Melange's tips for music to annoy your neighbor, which I think is not... unless we're going to pay money out for a bunch of samples.
No, I think I've got ideas, because people were wrong.
Oh, okay.
Well, because everyone was suggesting things that, yes, would maybe be annoying, but it would also fucking annoy you. And if you're going to do something to annoy your neighbors, you got to fucking enjoy yourself. And so you got to find like, because I think everyone's got at least a song that they can listen to ad nauseum just on an endless loop. So... you gotta find, yeah. That's what you gotta play.
Yeah,
like, I have, for example, there used to be, I think it got taken down from YouTube, but there used to be a 10-hour loop of the X-Files theme song, which I didn't listen for the whole 10 hours, but I did have going for 3 or 4 hours, and reality stopped working, but... but it never annoyed me during that time. So yeah, you got to find a song that you can listen to. Like, yeah, this is called my husband's method of listening to any music he likes, wherein he will listen to one song
endlessly
on an endless loop for the entire day, and like until he gets sick of it for like a week or two. And I'm going insane. I'm like, just put some headphones on, please.
My husband doesn't. He does wear headphones, but he's also like deaf in one ear, so I can still hear it.
So, yeah.
What is that? The one popular junior senior song? It's like "Move Your Feet" or something like that. I can't remember what it's called, but he can play that on like 20-hour loops. So. there was a Halsey song for a while that he was just playing again and again and again.
Yeah, there's too many songs for there's just a lot of songs he was listening to. Like, he fucking loved Call Me Maybe and would listen to that all the time, and I'm like, do not, it gets stuck in my head so easily. Stop it, even once is too much. Stop it.
Oh my god, I've had the theme song to Green Acres stuck in my head every morning for the last 2 weeks, like when I get up and I'm brushing my teeth, and I don't know how it gets there because I haven't watched the show.
Oh, that's always the weirdest, when you wake up with something stuck in your head.
Yeah,
and you're like, how did this happen? Especially when it's something really random, like the theme song to Green Acres.
Like, who the fuck even knows what Green Acres is anymore? side note, tangent, whatever you want to call it, I think Green Acres is a show that someone should revisit in this era of reboots.
I don't even know what Green Acres is. So
I know what the theme song is.
Well, now it's stuck in your head.
It is. It is stuck in my
head. Green Acres was a comedy, and I saw it on Nick at Night, so it's a lot older than I remember it being. The wife was Ava Gabor, but I can't remember who played the husband. But anyway, he was like this wealthy Manhattan millionaire guy, and one day he just decides that he wants to up and move to a farm. And so he buys like this enormous farm and takes his Manhattan debutante wife, or whatever, like whatever the word is, that she's really fancy and she wears ball gowns all the time and stuff, and drags her out into the country with all these like hicks.
Oh, great.
It's like taking them in the middle of Letterkenny and trying to farm, and they have no fucking clue what they're doing. And that's it. That's the
excellent
show. Like, the whole shtick is him not understanding farm life and her being very displeased with it.
That sounds like, what was it called? There was an English show called The Good Life, where it's a couple and they decide that they're going to become inner city farmers, basically, and they stop. They grow their own food, and they do barter systems and stuff like that,
right.
And instead of actually working, and it's a really cool, that was a really cool show that I grew up with, but it was English, not American. Sarah.
Yeah,
it's probably why
I would love to see someone revisit Green Acres. I can't think of
maybe you need to start doing spec scripts for it then.
Right? I was just going to say, like, I realized I could probably, like, come up with something myself, but I can't think of a hook. Like, I can't think of a twist on it.
Yeah.
You know, except maybe not make the wife, like
so horrible.
Make them lesbians.
Oh, that's
a make it lesbians. There you go. Fixed. Done.
Fixed. Done. Everything better with lesbians.
Yeah. Everything.
It wasn't even that she's awful. Like, yeah, she's really materialistic and stuff, and I don't remember much beyond that. But like the whole premise of she was like, I want to stay in Manhattan. He was like, you're my wife, and like so she just goes to Manhattan, or she just goes to the farm, you know, and that always sat wrong with me.
Okay, sorry, lost it.
All right, Green Acres, but lesbians. I'll see what I can do.
Oh. Okay, cool. Let's get on to it.
Well, that is all our questions, unless you care about...
That is, and it's time to go.
Baby and I.
Sorry, I'm falling asleep.
Well, that's my job. It's night here.
What barely heard of Nick at Night show would you like to see rebooted? Yes, please. What would you reboot with lesbians? Tell us and send
everything.
It to bibibicast@gmail.com.
You can also go to byebyebyecast.tumblr.com, where we've got links to the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram and all the stuff, because we're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
And if you'd like to become a patron, come to patreon.com, and there might be some new stuff going up there soon. Maybe, if I get around to it.
Hopefully.
There should be.
Yeah, and join the Discord, which is always linked in the show notes, and the Discord's awesome.
Yes. The Discord is great. We have a lot of fun there, and as I said, we do a lot of Animal Crossing there.
Yeah,
so
a good way
us.
To get our instant attention.
Yes.
If you ever thought, hey, I want the bias to answer a question for me, that's the best way to rate the captive audience.
Yeah.
Captive audience.
We do, and everyone's lovely too, so you'll probably have a good time while you're there as well.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening. We will see you all next week. We love you very much, as per usual. That never changes. And now I've lost it, so goodbye, everybody. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
We need to make Tom write the fanfic, I suppose. the real person fic. Who's the Dom out of the three of us? Definitely not me.
It's me.
Yes, <I'll say.
laughs> Kind of obvious. Alrighty.